Okay, we'd like to thank Karen and Jake Ivalevitz for sponsoring this morning's Locks and Learn. Leila Nishmas, Jake's beloved parents, Aliyah ben Abba and Leah Bas Avram, and Karen's brother, Yoshua ben Shimon Dov, the Neshama should have an Aliyah. Okay, so we're going to get started. If you can have a seat, please, that would be great. If not, feel free to stand. The Mishnah that we're about to do is brand new. We are actually skipping a Mishnah because we already did it. The sixth Mishnah we did when we did an earlier Mishnah, we combined them together. The Mishnah number six talks about what the numbers are of people sitting together and learning and whether the Shekhinah is with them, not with them. We analyzed that when we did a similar Mishnah earlier on. So we are now up to magically Mishnah 7 in chapter 3. Mishnah 7, chapter 3. This Mishnah is two parts to it, and one of the things that we will not do as of right now is ask or try to figure out why there are two parts to this Mishnah and why this Mishnah, the two things that it's talking about, is there any connection between the two of them? We're going to focus on part one for now. We'll read part two just to see what we're going to be doing next week, and you can start thinking whether or not there's a connection between part one and two. So here we go. Rabbi Elazar Ish Bartuta Omer. So Belazar, the man of Bartuta, said, Tain lo mishalo. We're going to have to figure out what we're talking about here. Give him, from what's his, she'ata b'shelcha shalo, because you and what's yours is his. Okay, so first impressions, what are we talking about? So who's this thing or person that we should be giving to? Presumably Hashem. That's a fair guess. I'm not sure anybody says anything differently than that. So let's just go with that. We're giving something to God because what we have is really His. So now the question that we're going to have to analyze, and we'll see a number of different approaches in the Mishnah from the commentators, is what exactly are we giving that is His? What should we be giving over that really belongs to Him? So let's read the pasuk first that is quoted and see if that gives us a hint towards the answer. V'chein b'David hu omer. As it says, David HaMelech says in Divrei HaYamim, Kimimcha hakol umiyadcha nasnu lach. So from him is everything, from God is everything, and from our hands we have to give him. So does that give us any hint of what we're talking about? Okay, so not necessarily, maybe something to do with money. So first guess is we have something to do with giving over part of our goods, part of our money to other people. That's a fair guess, and we'll see that a number of people say that. Anything else that is possibly hinted to at in this Mishnah that belongs to God that we should feel free to give back over to Him? Everything, I like it. Kavod, honor, maybe, yeah? Anything? Everything? Anything more specific than everything? Derech Eretz, okay. All right, so we'll see. There's a lot of interesting stuff here. Yeah. Okay, money related to mitzvah performance, that could be too. Okay, so money related, either tzedakah or spending money on mitzvos, or everything. So we'll have to see what's in between that spectrum of just money and everything. So look at source number two here. Actually, just for the sake of interest, the second part of this Mishnah is a famous part, famous Mishnah. It's by a different person, and it presumably has absolutely nothing to do with the first part of the Mishnah. So why it's combined with the first part of the Mishnah in the same Mishnah, again, something to think about, but let's just read it. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Rabbi Shimon says, HaMahalich b'derech v'shon, if somebody is walking on the road and he is learning, umafsik mimishnaso, and he takes a break from his learning, and he says, V'omer, right? V'omer, I have to check Facebook. No, a little bit different. V'omer, he says, Ma na'a ilan zeh. How great and beautiful is this tree? Ma na'a nir zeh. This plowed field, we know we're very excited about plowed fields nowadays. How beautiful is this plowed field? So if somebody's learning, they're on their way, and they're learning, and they stop, and they say such a crazy, heretical thing, we'll have to analyze why this is so bad. It's as if they are worthy of death. Now, we spent some time a few weeks ago talking about that Chazal at points exaggerate a little bit in terms of the punishments that go along with the various things that we may do wrong. So here, it's something really, really terrible about stopping from learning in order to praise beautiful nature. We're going to save that for next week. So we're just going to focus on this part of the Mishnah for this week. What is it that we're giving over to God? So let's look at Rabbeinu Yonah. Pretty straightforward explanation. Rabbi Elazar Ish Bar Tuta, source number 2, Omer Tein Lo Mishalo, Ze Midaber Bein Le'inyan Gufo Shel Adam U'Bein Le'inyan Mamono. So number 1, we said, he quotes it second, has to do with money. That's correct. We have to give over our money because really our money belongs to God. But he adds something else. It has to do with our body as well. So what does it mean giving over our body to God? What does that entail? So let's keep reading. Vilomar shelo yimne adam es atzmo velo es mamono michafse shamayim. You shouldn't prevent or hold yourself back both in terms of your money and in terms of your being, yourself, when it comes to doing religious things, doing things that God wants us to do. V'zehu sha'amar sha'ata v'shelcha shalom. And this is what it says that you and what you have belong to Him. Because notice that that's two things, right? We didn't emphasize that. It's ata, you, v'shelcha, and what's yours. So it's both in terms of Rabbeinu Yonah's reading that it's your body, ata, your person, yourself, your identity, and shelcha, and your possessions, the things that you own and that belong to you. She'en, continuing second line, she'encha nosen mishelcha v'lo migufcha v'lo mimomoncha ela mishel makom baruch hu. In reality, you are not actually giving anything that is yours because it doesn't belong to you. It's from God. Shakol shelo. Our money is like collateral in our hands. Rabbi Tokayer referenced this yesterday in his drasha, right? All your money can just disappear like this. It's all a gift from God. So he says it's a little bit of a different type of collateral, because usually if somebody gives you a collateral, you can't use it. So here God's giving you monetary collateral. It really belongs to Him, right? But what does He let you do? He lets you use it for your own purposes. But what are your own purposes? Your own purposes are spending it on what you need. What you define as need might be relative, but for the most part, it's not everything that we own. It's what we need He lets us buy, He lets us use. And the rest, it's expected that we go and give that away to poor people, for people who need it.
So Achidat Yitzchak is the same thing.
We'll get there. V'chiyas, he didn't say that yet. V'chiyas seratzon balav minan ishar. And you can do it once you give over, you give over to the aniyim, and you take what you need for yourself. And then he tells a mashal. So skip the mashal. We're now on the third to last line of this source, towards the end of the line, after the period. It says v'hu ne'emar le'inyon haguf. Right. So there's also an element, not just in terms of money, but also in terms of body. Al she'ichinu levanos beis kadsho. Right, so you have to. Shlomo had to build the Beis HaMikdash. So that you're giving over your body, you're using your physical strengths, if you will, in order to serve God as well, because He gave you your physical body and your physical strengths, in addition to not just money. So basically, our mindset should be that everything, both in terms of our possessions and in terms of our bodily strength, comes from God, and as a consequence, we are required to give over whatever we possibly can back to Him, because it's really all His. Now, Rabbi Shiloni just mentioned something interesting. He referenced Akedas Yitzchak. So Akedas Yitzchak is an extreme example of this, where God asks, perhaps just as a test, not in reality that He wanted this, but He asked Avram to give over literally his son. Because his son, in some theoretical form, it belongs to God. So Avram was willing and able to give his son over back over to God. And we're not going to get into the theology of Akedas Yitzchak right now. But if you look in source number 3, although I don't believe he references Akedas Yitzchak, the Medrash Shmuel says, look in the second paragraph. You see there's 3 paragraphs in source 3. The second paragraph starts, O HaKavana. Right, so he's going to add something that Rabbeinu Yonah didn't say explicitly, but might have been implicit. He says, O HaKavana, Shehutziva LaAdam Shiyiten Lo Mishalo. It's that we're being commanded to give over what is his. Uperish Dvarav Shalo Ala Mamon Bilvad Haya Omer. It's not just about money. Rak Gam Al HaNefesh. Also, in terms of our soul, and what he means here by soul is your life. Not just some religious vague concept that we throw around, you know, how is your neshama doing and your nefesh. Your actual life, you have to be willing to give over. Shemitzdarach limsor nafsho lemisa al kedushas Hashem yisbarach yimsurena besimcha uveshirim. This is something that we don't necessarily identify with so easily. But the concept here is that if at whatever point in time, hopefully, again, we hope it doesn't happen, that we are called on, forced to give over our life for Kiddush Hashem purposes, he's arguing that we should do that with a level of not just calmness or peace of mind, but actually with joy, with simcha, with singing. Again, something that we don't really identify or relate with. So even if you don't go as extreme as that, that you have to enjoy doing it, at the end of the day, to think about the fact that our life is a gift from God, that mindset is important, to realize that it's a gift, it's a pikadon, it is a collateral that we have, and maybe when we get up in the morning and say moda'ani a little bit, we should have a little more kavana, that this is another day and another gift from God that He, you know, doesn't really have to give us, but was kind enough to do so. So that's how he, the Medrash Shmuel, understands not just money, one second, not just money, not just using your physical capabilities to serve God, but even be willing and able and ready to give over our lives al Kiddush Hashem if necessary. Yeah, one and then two. It is, yeah, it's related to Shema. B'chol nafshecha, b'chol ma'odecha, yeah. With giving over this our child, right? So it's totally sacrificing a child, not to death, but to the service of God, because the child was a gift from God, right? That would be another good example. Okay, so that's what the Medrash Shmuel says. If you look in, let me see if it's worth it. Go to the first paragraph of the Medrash Shmuel. He says something slightly differently. So there's another way to read this Mishnah a little bit more closely. It says, Tein lo mishalo. Right? You should give from what's his. So does that mean, if you read that carefully, does that mean you give everything? It's from. You give part. Right, so it's only a portion. You could have made the argument you have to give everything over. So the Medrash Shmuel is about to read that you're only supposed to give a portion. You're not supposed to give everything. So now his reading over here is Esther Shiomar, first paragraph in source 3. Esther Shiomar, al diver mashakasa bishayo alav ashalom, kisira aram mechisaso mibsarcha lo sisalim, kilomar. Quotes of Pasuk in Yeshayahu as if to say, tira aram mechisiso im yesh sipuk biyadcha lechaso sis atzmacha tchila az anochi mitzavcha kisira aram. There's a starting point here, is you have to have clothes for yourself before you start worrying about clothing other people. You have to have food for yourself before you have to start worrying about having food for other people. So the Mishalo, the Medrash Shmuel is saying, is that there's sort of like an alternative message here. The main message is give over to other people, right? But the hidden message is you first got to take care of yourself, because it's only Mishalo. First you take care of yourself. You give a portion from what you have. After you take care of yourself, you take care of other people as well, right? So there's a limit to how much you give to other people. You shouldn't give all of your money to other people. You have to worry about yourself. So there is a sort of a counter message, sort of the opposite message, is that on the one hand, yes, take care of other people, but make sure you take care of yourself first. Does anybody remember where we saw this probably around a year ago? In a different Mishnah, this concept of taking care of yourself before you take care of other people. Laser, get the brain going. No? It's a famous Mishnah. Sorry? Right. Im ein ani li mili, right? Uchshani la'atzmi ma'ani. So you start off by saying, I have to be for myself. Im ein ani li, this is something we did over by Rav Shimon Shkup, is I have to take care of myself first, and only after I take care of myself can I start expanding to start taking care of other people. Right? So self-care is the priority, and once that is taken care of, we have to go give over to others as well. So that's the Medrash Shmuel. And he says in the third paragraph, similar to Rabbeinu Yonah, so we're going to skip that for now. So until this point, we have four messages. We have number one, give over your money to other people. Number two, give over your bodily strength to the service of God. Number three is that we have to be willing or able to, b'chol nafshecha, to be die if we need to, al pi kiddush Hashem. Hopefully it doesn't happen. And number four is that we have to also take care of ourselves before we're able to take care of other people. Yeah, Brayden.
I think that we see that in the Torah when it talks about stuff, that we have to take care of your family first, and then the people in your community, and then the people in your
family. Right, so the Ani Ircha, when it comes to giving out priorities of tzedakah, there's a hierarchy where you first have to take care of yourself, take care of your household, then take care of your city, and then you expand further and further and further. Correct. This idea is found in those places as well. So until now, we have sort of, I would say, the standard explanations. We're done with the standard explanations. Give over to God your money. Give over to God your strength. Okay, that makes sense. What we're about to do now for the next three or four sources is expand what we're referring to when we say give over of yourself to God. And it doesn't just mean money or body. So here's the Ben Ish Chai in source number four. It's a very interesting read. So he says here, Tein lo mishalo. So he references first a Gemara in Kedushin, where the Gemara in Kedushin says that there's three, we'll read it inside, Efshar lomar b'mesha amru in the Gemara in Kedushin, shlosha shutfin ba'adam. There's three partners in the creation of a person. Who are the three partners? Hashem, mother, father, right? Parents, and God. B'chol hachiyus, so now the Gemara deals with, so which, when we talk about partners, so each partner has a different element that they insert into the creation of the person. Again, whether biologically this is accurate or this is meant to be taken as a metaphor for something, we can argue about or debate at a different point in time, but we're just going to take it for granted for now. He says, V'chol hachiyus v'hanafesh hu mishal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Makes sense. The life force and the soul comes from God, and the physical elements come from the parents. The mother gives some, the father gives the others. V'hamistakel b'zeh mitar rayonos v'libo. So if you have the following in mind, if you keep in mind that what belongs to God, what did God insert into the creation of you? It's your neshama, and the way he describes it here is your chiyus v'nefesh. And if you think about the fact that this chiyus, this life force, and the nefesh comes from God, if you ponder that, mistakel b'zeh, you're going to purify your thoughts and your mind. Dekevon dehamachshava v'achiyus hu koach eloki. The thought process and our motivation, our life force, comes from God. V'hu chelak Hashem b'shutfus ha'adam, and it is the part of God that God inserted in our creation. Roi shelo lifgom b'chelak Hashem l'tame rayonosa v'chashav machshavos pigul hirhure avera. So the tein lo mishalo, give to God what belongs to Him. What belongs to God? Your nefesh, which she's understanding here as your thought process. Your thoughts belong to God, because that's the part that God inserted into our creation. Right? So therefore, give God your thought process. And if you think about that, what does that mean? He says, make sure that your thinking is a holy type of thinking. Make sure that we're not thinking about things that are inappropriate, that we're not spending our time with thought processes that wouldn't be considered pure and holy, because our thought, similar to something the Rambam says, it's the closest that we can get to connecting to God. And that's the part that he gives the mishalo. So we have to be able to give that back over to Him to purify our thoughts. Shelo latet tzedaka ki atzar atzar ba'ad kol racham ein chonun ve'ein merachem ki chas v'shol misham shechet Hashem lachiso b'matan aso asher nasan lo become a yachrad v'yibos asher enei seichel lo lahamik b'zeh. And he says, if you don't purify your thoughts, it's very sad. It's very disturbing because that's the part that God gives over to you, and that's the part of His. V'zehu sha'amar, we're 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 lines from the bottom of source number 4, in the middle of the line after the period. V'zehu sha'amar, now he's reading this thought back into the Mishnah. Zehu sha'amar tein lo la kadosh baruch hu mishalo, give to God what really belongs to Him. Mehakoach asher nasan lecha moachius belev techtam lavodaso. The fact that He gives you the power to think, our brain power, our motivational power, our emotional power, if you will, if that's what He means by lev, give that over back to God. Shalofia emes atav shalcha shalo, because in truth, you and that belongs to Him. Gam chelek avicha, now he takes it back. Okay, so what does it mean, atav shalcha shalo? So we have the mind, we spoke about that. But now he says, not just the mind belongs to God. What else belongs to God? Your body too. So even though the Gemara says that your physical parts, that's the part that that your parents give you, right? So he says, no, in truth, that's just an illusion as well, because even the... your parents belong to Him, and even your body belongs to Him. So, gam chelek aviva imcha, shebashkaf rishona nira sheim shelcha, even though you think the part, your body belongs to you. You think your body is yours. Is that true? Lekusha de milsa shaloim. Belongs to Him as well. Even the body and the bones and all of that part comes from Him. It belongs to Him, as it says by David in Divrei Yamim. He quotes the pasuk that we quoted in the Mishnah. Okay, so it's a little bit of an innovative reading here, that the thing that belongs to God, that we think is really ours, is our life force, our thought processes. And because of that, we have to make sure, the message is to make sure that we purify and think godly, religious things as much as possible.
A sugya there in Kiddushin is only because kibud abahem. So they should have seen that you have to respect them the same way that you respect God.
Right, so you have to respect your parents just like you respect God. That's the context of the Gemara. Respect parents, respect God, all goes in one big happy family. Yeah. Okay, so give over all of your problems and your worries and your anxieties to God, and He'll take care of it. I like it. Okay. Well, Barry, you're going to be out of a job. You guys. That's the element of bitachon. I hear that. So tain lo mishalo, give over all of the stuff that you're worried about. Give it to Him, and let Him worry about it. Okay, so I like it. Now, let's go flip the page, source number 5. This is the Ruach Chaim, Rav Chaim of Elazhin, where he has another innovative reading of what does it mean. Right, because basically, just to broaden out here, what we're trying to find out, and this is the creativity of these commentators now, is to identify something that really belongs to God. What is the Mishalo? Right? What is that thing that belongs to God? So again, classically you say it's all the body. Classically you say it's the money. But now we're trying to think about other things that we think is ours, but really belongs to God. So we have to give over all of that to God. Yeah, sorry.
The opposite though, like what you were saying, what's the point of giving back what you already gave? What's the point of man? You're just going to give back what you already gave us. There has to be something of power that we can give Him.
Okay, so you want to read it in the exact opposite way to say that it belongs to us. So you're not wrong, right? But no, because this is all. I think what you're saying is powerful, is that we want to give over the part of us that is ours, right? The problem with that is that everything is really God's, right? But that's the point. So it's, I think we're saying the same thing, is that we have to identify that thing that we think in our perspective is ours, and give that to God as a present, because that's a great gift to give. What, you know, the us, the ani, the thing that's me, we give that over to God, and then just keep in mind that in reality it's His anyways, right? So that's a good way of framing the next source. Look at source number 5, because this is at the core of what we think it is to be human, right? So whether, you know, source number 4 said it's the thought process, Source number five here is even more powerful, perhaps. Tein lo mishalo, Ruach Chaim says, ki ha'adam b'zeha olam ki hilu hu shel atzmo. We think, thank you, set up this source perfectly. We think that we're us. We think that we have an I, that we're ourselves, that we're a person, and I have an identity, and I'm awesome, and I'm amazing, right? Hainu ki ha'kadosh baruch hu hiniach b'yado ha'bechira. What is that? That's free will. That's the ability to choose. We think that we have free will, right? That's the ani. That's the me. I can choose. Ah, ima adam mar bechas v'shalom lifshoa pesharav. Let's say somebody does many, many sins. Az ya'anish is going to open up a whole can of worms over here. Az ya'anish onesh gadol mikola onshim shenotim imenu abachira. Then you get the worst possible punishment. What's the worst possible punishment? Taking away of free choice. Right, so who's our paradigm where that happened? Paro. Right? So if you're so bad, eventually your free choice is going to be taken away, and your identity as what makes you you, that bechira, can be taken away. And that shows, what does that show? That it really, that it's yours, but it's not. Right? It's, you think it's yours, but even that can be taken away. Right? Our identity, in fact, can be taken away. I think I've quoted this before, maybe not in this context, but in 5th grade, 7th grade, I don't remember, one of the, probably 7th grade, we were reading, if anybody knows what books you read in what grades, we're reading A Wrinkle in Time. Okay? 7th grade? Sounds like a 7th grade book. 5th grade? 2nd grade? No. Okay. Let's compromise. 6th grade. Okay, 6th grade. So, in A Wrinkle in Time, again, I'm don't remember. This came out with the movie. I didn't see it, so I don't remember all the details. But it's somehow there's something that takes away your brain, right? And I might be making this up, right? So they you get brainwashed. You don't have free choice anymore. So one of the teachers asked, one of the thinking questions was, you know, what would you do if somebody took over your train of thought, your brain, your choice? So. Honestly, it's pretty silly question because you're not going to do anything. You don't have choice. I think I wrote. I said I would take this in the right way. I said I think I would kill myself because I don't have free choice. What's the point of living? Okay, so that ended me. That last I ended up in a psychologist's office for that one, and I had to explain my way out of that. But the truth is that I still think it's not a crazy answer. It's like if I don't have free choice, what's the point? That's who I am. That's my ability. That's my ability to make a decision. So he says before we get to it. So he says let's finish what he says. V'lo yachol od lashuv kimo paro v'dugma. So and you're not going to be able to do tshuva like paro. V'zehu sha'amru asei ad shata motzei matzui lecha v'otcha biyachli. Quotes Gemara and Shabbos. We're not going to get into that now. V'zehu in terms of our Mishnah tein lo mishalo. Give over what is his. Afsha atab yad atzmacha. Even though you have free choice, you are you. Mikol makom teidash mimoncha mimenu balach. It's still from him. V'im lav teidash atab gam kein shalo. Right? You still belong to him at the end of the day. Uviyado limno atob mimcha olito gam otcha. And he has the ability to take away that free choice. Hainu habachira shalcha. The choice is yours, but he can take it away. V'dai lamevin, enough for those who understand. The assumption here is that, though, not everybody's going to understand, because this is a deep concept, this is a deep point, and it's a little bit disturbing, if you will, but that's really what the idea is. Yeah?
When you were talking about free choice, what about a person that doesn't have any
right, so I don't know if that's the same thing. And Evan Ivry still has choice. Meaning I could choose to go into a job that makes me work 16 hours a day. I still have choice. And the bechira of choosing good or bad or doing the right thing or the wrong thing, I still have that choice. I don't think that's the same thing. Even an Evan Ivry has bechira, right? Yeah. One of you.
Taking away free choice means that you are becoming an automaton. Once your free choice is gone, then you're just a machine. So if that's the case, Kachrov didn't create us as machines. He created us as thinking, free choosing human beings. Once that gets removed from the equation,
Yeah, and that's, I think that's the point. And that's what happened to Paro. This isn't like a normal thing. This doesn't happen like, you know, it's not like 75% of the population this happens to, right? This is an extreme case where he's bringing out the point. I think the point he's making is that at the end of the day, yes, all of us, except for Paro, you know, and maybe one or two other people, you know, have the free will to choose what we want. And that's what is ours. That's us. But just keep in mind,
that too is a gift.
That too is a gift, and in theory, it can be taken away.
Right. So,
right. So, that, it could be that there the situations will be that you know, your choice is taken away from you. But I want to be clear here is that this is a loaded topic, and the whole concept of free will and even Paro's free will being taken away is you know, we could spend days and weeks just talking about that concept alone. So we're assuming lots and lots of different things with this source, and that's okay. I think the idea is still an interesting way of reading the Mishnah. Whether or not this is how we understand free choice and its ability to be taken away, we'll save that for a different time. But again, I think still interesting. Let's do two more quick, and then we're going to keep going. Rachel, then Mishnah.
Yeah, I think it's important to put into the Mishnah the idea that Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, created the ultimately is the parent who wants the best for you. So if he's telling you,
Tango Mishalo, or well, hold on. Morty Weinstein is watching.
Is he really?
On Facebook, yeah. Okay.
Tell his parents say hello.
So then it doesn't get such a negative spin. In other words, we're looking at it almost like, oh my God, what is he trying to do? He's punishing us. But I think it's so important to put in that Koma the Tavad Avad, whatever he's doing is really for our benefit. That's the trick. To see how this is really helping us as people, which of course it is, because the whole idea of Hakarat Hatov and how to give and so on. So it's perhaps if we focus more on how this is, because Rav is really helping us here, or is doing it mitoch
I hear. And just to make one more point before we hear from Shaloni and then we go to the next, source or two, is that there's two ways of reading this, and I don't think he's reading it. We would have to spend a lot of time analyzing this. One way to read it is to say that free will in general is a total illusion. And there are sources that say that we think we have free will, but we don't actually, Jewish sources in recent times that said that all our thinking that we have free will is an illusion because God's in charge of everything. Everything comes from God. I don't think that's what he's saying. I think he's saying free will is not an illusion. Free will is what defines us who we are. But keep in mind that even that can be taken away. That's not saying free will is an illusion. Free will is a gift. So there's a difference between that. Yeah, 1 second. Rabbi Shaloni and then.
As this Mishnah reminds me about Rabbi Akiva and his wife. He says, Sheli v'shelachem shelahi. So that's exactly the same. Everything belongs to Hashem. My mind, my body, and everything belongs to him. It's a positive thing, not a negative.
Yeah, no, for sure. This is positive. Yeah,
it's positive.
It all, yeah. Everything goes to God. Yeah.
What about God and
There's numerous types of those types of ideas.
But that indicates that it is.
Yeah. Okay. We're not getting into the concept of free will, but yeah, we're all of those who deal with this know those psukim, and they take that into account in whatever they're going to say. Well, maybe we'll do free will a different time. But okay, I think it's good for this Mishnah on the free will part. Look at source number 6. I think source 6 is really a beautiful way of bringing everything together. It's not fundamentally different than the earlier sources that we saw, but I think the way he spells it out has a very modern touch to it. The Tiferes Yisrael here in source number 6, Shata v'shelcha shelo. He says, nearly, remember, in terms of what we see now, what does it mean, ata v'shelcha shelo? What does it mean? You and yours, so meaning your body, your money, your thinking, your free will. Right, so he spells out nearly the lab dafka bit stuck a myri. It's not just talking about money. Elahachi kamar. Im chanancha Hashem shum maila o koach. If God blessed you with any level of trait or power or strength, keosher, whether it's money, gevura, some physical strength, chachma, wisdom, zikaron, memory, kol na'im, a beautiful voice, ukadome, whatever strength God gave you, hikrivu la'Hashem, bring that back to God. Lishtamish boba kodesh, use it for spiritual things. That's a beautiful idea. Whatever strengths God gave to you, and this could be inherent in the concept of give over when we said, you know, your body. So, okay, this isn't, but it's more powerful. Everything you have, all the talents you have, make sure you bring that to shul. Make sure you bring that to school. Make sure you bring that to any spiritual event that you're doing. Use your koach for the good. Use it to serve Hashem better. Because atav v'shalcha shul, because He gave that to you, it's all from Him. Okay, so I think that's a very nice way of putting it. Now, source number 7 is the Abarbanel. The Abarbanel, somebody give me the time, I can't see it on my phone.
Almost 10.
10? Okay, we got time. Fine. So the Abarbanel here, I said we were going to start it last week. Then we skipped it because we didn't have time. So we're going to do this. Source number 7 is two parts. You see the two paragraphs. The first paragraph is from last week's Mishnah, which was two Mishnayos again, because remember we skipped the Mishnah, we already did. And then the second paragraph is from this week's Mishnah, and they are connected. The ideas are connected. So just to give a 1-minute introduction, as we've said in the past, the Abarbanel is one of the few commentators who likes to read broad themes throughout the Mishnayos. So unlike other commentators who say, you know, Mishnah 1 might be connected to Mishnah 2, but we're not going to necessarily connect it to Mishnah 3, to Mishnah 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, right? It's just like, okay, there might be some connection between parallel, they're juxtaposed next to each other. The Abarbanel says there's a running theme throughout each parak. Each parak has a running theme. So what's the running theme of this parak? Anybody remember? We've alluded to it a few times. What's the theme of this parak? According to the Abarbanel, it's how to avoid sin. Right? Last parak, parak 2, was balancing Torah and Derech Eretz. That's how we understood all the Mishnayos in chapter 2, and we spent the whole shiur going through all of those. He understands chapter 3 as trying to figure out strategies to avoid sin. So what we're going to do in this first paragraph is a brief recap of some of the Mishnayos that we've seen over the last 2 months or so, and he's going to fit in this concept of how they're arguing about or discussing, figuring out the best way to avoid sin, and then he's going to apply it to our Mishnah for the last possible, for the last explanation for the day. So starting source number 7, Vikasha. Vikasha lahem ma'od. Ma ra'a Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana, shelo bir schar acher l'chachamim ha-mekablim aleyem ol Torah, ki im shema'avir mimenu ol malchus v'ol derech eretz. Right, so remember, we're going 2 Mishnayos back. We have to remind ourselves what this 2 Mishnayos again ago said. So what was the Mishnah from last week? What did we learn last week? Ooh, such a long time ago, right? Anybody? Anybody got it written down? What was last week's Mishnah? He just told us some of it. Right, so all Torah is the burden of Torah, and we analyzed what the burden of Torah was, and the yoke. What was the yoke of Torah? So the concept was that if you choose the yoke of Torah, then you don't have to do the yoke of Derech Eretz and the Ol and the yoke of Malchus. So he starts off by saying that, you know, some were bothered by why is it that the only thing you get, the only schar, the reward you get for choosing a life of learning Torah, is that you don't have a life of Ma'ol Malchus Vol Derech Eretz. Why not say that you'll be saved from other problems? Why these specifically? So there's other references in Tehillim that talk about other benefits that you get from choosing a life of Torah. About blis suffik, lo kivin atana el davar mizesham. But that's not what we're talking about. What are we talking about here? Aval, haya inyano. This is what we're talking about. Ki lefisha ra'a das akavya ben mahalalel, bistaklus hadvarim barachakas aveira. See, Abarbanel is now taking us all the way back to the first Mishnah in the third chapter. What does the first Mishnah in the third chapter say? Akavya ben Mahalalel says, look at three things and you won't come to sin. That's an explicit reference to avoiding sin. Right? Histakel in the Histaklus Badvarim Barchakas Aver, look at these three things and you're not going to come to sin. Shehu Derech Eretz Umidinios Mufla. So what was his way? What was Akavya's way of avoiding sin? Anybody remember? So the way he phrases it here, it's that it's talking about being involved with worldly things, you know, being involved with the world. Re'e Rabbi Chanan Yiskana Kohanim Bishimora Shomalchus Hi Asiba Amirachekes Lo Davar Acher. So the second Mishnah says, that's not the reason why people do stay away from sin, because they're involved with social norms, if you will. What's the reason people stay away from sin? Because they're afraid of the government. Remember, we spent the whole Mishnah talking about being afraid of punishment. Otherwise, we'd kill each other. Ish esrei uchaim lo, right? We'd all kill each other if there wasn't some level of threat of punishment from the government. So those are two competing aspects as to why people don't sin. Number one is that it's culturally correct, it's proper, it's the right thing to do. Or is it because we're just afraid of the government? And then we saw the next three Tanaim, the next three Mishnayos, that they all argued, then the following Mishnah said, no, you're wrong. It's not because it's socially appropriate. It's not because we're afraid of government. What's the best way to avoid sin? Preoccupation with Torah. That's the third possible ingredient. And he argues is that that's what the subsequent Mishnayos say as well. So now Rabbi Nechunya comes along and says, I'm going to tell you which one's right. What's the best way to avoid sin? The Amar Shahalacha Kirabim. The halacha is like the majority, and the majority all said that the best way to avoid sin is Torah. Shekol Makabal Alav O Torah. Kediv Rabbi Chananya ben Tradion, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Chananya ben Chachinai, Ma'avirin Mimenu O Malchus. Then you will no longer have the O Malchus. What's the O Malchus? So he reads it differently. It doesn't mean government. What does it mean? What's the other possibility of Malchus? God. God. V'hi morah shel Malchus shezachar b'chananya skana kohanim. V'ol derech eretz v'histaklus ma'ayin v'ol anata holeich shezachar akavya ben mahalalel. V'inyin ma'avirin aratzon bo she'eni tzarech lo el ol yiras Malchus v'lo el ol histaklus b'derech eretz. It's fascinating. He says, what's going to avoid sin? Now, you might have said, what's the proper way to avoid sin? Have fear of God. Fear of God. He says, that's not the best way. Best way is learn Torah. Learning Torah is the best way to avoid sin. So, Ma'avir and Alav, Ol Malchus, is that by learning Torah, you don't have to worry. Don't worry about fear of sin. Just learn Torah, and that will help you avoid sin. Not through fear, but through that connection to Torah. Okay, so it's a fascinating reread of the Mishnah. We didn't say that last week. Nobody read the Mishnah like that last week, and we didn't have time to do all the background, so we left it for a different time. But that's what he says. He says that everybody's discussing and arguing the best way to avoid sin, and so far, last week's Mishnah, the psak, the agreed upon best way to do it was learn Torah. Just learn Torah. Now, that brings us to our Mishnah, second paragraph here. V'lachein, again, this isn't a continuation from the previous Mishnah, but I copied and pasted from the appropriate places. So now back to our Mishnah. So what do you think he's going to say about our Mishnah? If according to Abarbanel, everything has to do with avoiding sin, so what is this Mishnah? Let's reread our Mishnah. Tain lo mishalo, shata b'shalcha shalo. Give over what is his, because you and what's yours are his. What in the world does that have to do with fear of with not sinning? Right. So listen to what he does. It doesn't, or does it? Never give up hope on the Abarbanel. He will always come through. V'lachein echshov shelo kiven Rebbe Lazar ben Yehuda bekan lahazir al nedivus while it's stuckos v'otzas hamamonos lavodas Hashem Yisbarach. No, this has nothing to do with giving over money. Forget about everything you've read until now, all these other commentators. Nothing to do with giving over money. Aval hayu dvar val inyan Talmud Torah ki yeser atanayim. This has to do with learning. Remember, the Mishnah said nothing about learning, but the Abarbanel said this is all about learning. Shiniz krulamayla, as we said previously, v'inyano shilafish zachar Rabbi Chalafta harevach v'toela sa'atzma magia lo'osek b'Torah. Rabbi Chalafta told us how great and awesome learning Torah is, right? One person learning Torah, 10 people learning Torah, 3 people, right? Learning Torah is so awesome and amazing. Im ma'at v'im harbe, and if it's 1, 2, 3, 5, 10, v'hi sh'aros ha'shchina imahem, right? So the Shechina is with, Shinizka l'mala, the Shechina is with that person. Amar Allah, Rabbi Lazar, Shiroi, Hayal Yoskein. It is proper that this is correct, that Torah is awesome and Torah is amazing and the Shechina is with us. Vishishtadal Adam B'Talmud Torah, and that a person should try to learn more and more. Lefiship Bizet Yiskarib Lebaro B'Tibdabik Bo Shechina. So this is how we're going to get close to God and connect and cleave to the Shechina. Vinasan Taina Gedola Bizet. And there's a good reason for this. Vihi Shatorah hi pa'al. We're now up to line 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 lines from the top of the second paragraph. That Torah hi pa'al Eloki. U'maisa yadav shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. U'matana so asher nasan la'am skulaso. So what's he doing now? What's the Torah? The Torah is God's. And God gives us the Torah. Right, Hashem gave us a present. Do you know what it was? He gave us the Torah, right? So God gave us Tein Lo Mishalo. What's the Mishalo? It's the Torah. Give him back the learning because he gave you the Torah. Uvame Yisrat says Zel Adonav Kiyim B'Shiyi Tein Lo Mishalo. What does a person, what does a master want more than giving back what he gave to you? Via Torah Shenasna Mimenu Yisbarach. It's what came from God. V'ze omro tein lo mishalo sh'ata v'shalcha shalo rotz lo marsha adam hu maisa yedei Hashem v'chein haTorah. Man is created by God and the Torah was created by God. U'lefi sh'atana lakach haloshon hazeh midivrei David sh'amar b'inyan hanedava. So he uses the term from Divrei Hayamim as the Mishnah said. V'ratz lahavi raya midvarav lo sh'nemar kimimcha. Everything comes from God. Lefisha pasuk nemar shama al nedivas hamonos. The pasuk is talking about money, but we're going to use it, he says, in terms of Torah. So what the Abarbanel does is he totally, if you go to the third to last line from the bottom, towards the end, rotza lomar sheba avur shaita Torah mi to yitaleh. Torah comes from God. Umiyajimino yasku ba bnei Yisrael tamid, and that's what we should keep on doing. Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe Marasha Kilas Yaakov. So what the Abarbanel does is he rereads the Mishnah, even though the Mishnah itself doesn't say anything about Torah. He says it has to do with Torah. So now let me evaluate for a second. It's always good to evaluate. What do you think about this Abarbanel? Do you think this is what we'd call pshat? Do you think that this is what the Mishnah was talking about? So I would say you say no. I would say, why not? Because the Mishnah itself doesn't say anything explicit. It says, Tein lo mishalo shata v'shalcha shalo. What in the world is that talking about? Okay, so we said, maybe it's talking about money. Maybe it's talking about your body. Maybe it's talking about your traits, your characteristics, your life. Maybe it's talking about Torah. Why is that any different or any worse than any other explanation? Sometimes the Abarbanel, in his mission to fit in this broad running theme, we'll stretch things a little bit. And we can critique that, and we're okay with critiquing it. But for this one, I don't know if there's a real critique. Because the Mishnah itself is very, very vague. It doesn't really say anything. If he had to reread something, fine, but he's not rereading. Tein lo mishalo. What's the mishalo? If the mishalo can be your bechira, if the mishalo can be your money, if the mishalo can be your singing voice, then the mishalo could be the Torah, because the Torah is also mishalo. So give over the Torah, so that means learn Torah, and that fits in with the broader theme of the Abarbanel, that learning Torah, as of right now, is the way to go when it comes to avoiding sin, because it helps us cling to God, and that's the best way to avoid sin. Yeah?
To learn Torah, you basically learn how to behave. So
Right, so learning Torah helps us follow through on the mitzvot and be a good person and all that stuff. 100%, 100%. Yeah. Right, so that's okay. I didn't want to make the counterpoint, but the counterpoint is that just learning Torah doesn't necessarily automatically lead you to have good midos. And that's sort of, you know, like students of Rabbi Akiva, they learned Torah and they didn't follow through. And this is a broader, you know, much bigger argument. In terms of, if you go back to the 19th century, the Musar movement. So part of the Musar movement, where Yisrael Salanter started it, was that he was trying to say that we need to actively target the ethical and the religious elements of Torah, because just learning Torah, Rabbi Yisrael Salanter argued, isn't enough. You have all these kids sitting in yeshiva, and they're not necessarily, you know, they don't necessarily have the best midos. The counter argument was, no, just learn Torah, like this Abarbanel, just learn Torah, and that's going to be your best bet. So it's a debate. But according to the Abarbanel, he thinks the Torah, at least done properly, is the best way, because you're clinging to God, it teaches you, etc. Yeah.
Hashem would make sense, because Hashem wants our spiritual quality, not physical. He doesn't want our man. Throw the man in the sky, the man falls on the floor.
Right, so you're saying Abarbanel makes even more sense to than money, because we're focusing on spiritual things. I hear, yeah?
Well, I have a question.
Just one. He was leaving room for a Sunday morning lots and learn. It's a fair question. The question could be either you could take it in a few different directions. Number one is that maybe when he wrote it, he was being clear, and maybe everybody knew what he was talking about. The other possibility is that he was purposely being vague, right? So sometimes you have a poet write something that could be interpreted in a number of different ways, because it then gives over the power to people to interpret it in the way that they find more appropriate.
He could misinterpret what he really meant.
Right, so you could misinterpret what he really meant. The question is, does that really matter? So meaning, if we would misinterpret it in a way that's dangerous, then you would have a taina, right? So you would say, you have a point. You know, I'm misinterpreting what you're saying, and that's, I'm now taking a religiously inappropriate takeaway from that. But I would say that, listen, he says one thing, and now we have 8 messages that come from it. Right? If he just said it explicitly, then we'd only have 1 message. So now we can think about 8 different ways of that are all possible and all important.
We would still have 8 messages, because you know
what? Well, that's the. Well, I think that's the point. Is that we leave things open for interpretation for that point. I mean, listen, this is not just Chazal. If you look at Pesukim, why do Pesukim have 50 different ways of interpreting it, right? So part of the system is that's how we want it to be. We want people to be able to have numerous interpretations, right? So, if you take the, when Moshe hits the rock, this just popped into my head, when Moshe hits the rock, right? So what was the sin that he did? Right, but he hit the rock, but we don't know exactly what he did wrong. So you have, one of the commentators, I think it's the Akedas Yitzchak, says, you know, Moshe did one thing wrong, but all the commentators are saying something else he did wrong. So now instead of one thing did wrong, he did 22 things that are wrong, right? Because everybody has a different interpretation of what he did wrong. So, you know, for Moshe we feel bad, but for this, at least we get 8 different explanations. Okay, so I think we're good. One last point, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
how we learn it, and you can tie that in, is how we use our brains, our machshava, our seichel, our nefesh, whatever, and that's how we give back to God, by using it creatively, using, okay, we'll tie it all together. You're using your talents and your creativity and your intelligence and your free will by learning Torah, and you're giving that all back to God, and that's what the Tein Lo Mi Shelo is.